Lichtige Chanukah. My wife told me, she heard from one of her Rebbes one time. Since Freilich means just you're happy, you're excited, we gotta get into the lights of Chanukah. So, should have a Lichtige Chanukah as well. Just quickly, thank you for your time. I mean, I also ran here, but you know, it's good to learn things together. I was asked to speak about, I wanted to speak about Dina, but I was told to speak about Mos Tzur. Because some people say it every night, and we got like two nights left, and no one knows what they're talking about. But do people know what they're talking about? So Art Scroll is great, by the way. I encourage it a lot. But what we will be touching about is a little bit about what Mos Tzur is talking about, in the sense that Mos Tzur Yeshua, see, we're thanking Hashem. Hashem is the rock of our salvation. And then we go through, in each stanza, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved us throughout all our goluses. So the first one, Nafshi is talking about, we have Paro, and he tried to destroy us. Anyone know the next golus? Bavel. We have Zerubbabel. Well, Zerubbabel brought us back, but we talk about golus of Bavel in the next one. Then we have Madai. Madai was with Bikesh, Agagi ben Amdasa. That's talking about Haman. Haman wanted to destroy us. Then we have Yavanim, which everyone gets excited for. That was the third galus of Galus Yavan. The last one is Chasev Zeraya Kachacha, Vikarev Ketsa Yeshua. We're asking Hashem to save us from this galus, which is Galus Edain. Ki Archa Lanu Yeshua, V'yen Ketz Limei Hara. We're saying, Ki En Ketz, it seems so long. And we're hoping that through the schus of the seven Rayim, Hakim Lanu Rayim Shiva is the seven different Ushpizim that we know of, the seven different Rayim of Klal Yisrael, in their schus, we should be brought back. So, just it's a very simple, but the Olam should try. You should try every single night, maybe, or every two now for the last couple of nights. Try and do two or three. You know, try and look at the English a little bit, but at least to think about in each one how Hashem saved us from each one of these galuses, and we should be zeicha to get out of this one very soon. Amitz Hashem. So the pasuk says in Eiv, the Olam knows what Eiv is. People like to make job jokes, like you need to get a job so you learn Eiv or something. I'm sorry, but there is a pasuk in Eiv. It goes like this. It says Loi shalavti v'loi shakatati v'loi nachti v'yavai roiges. Which means I was never tranquil, I never got to rest. V'loy nachti, also a lashon of resting. V'yovei roiges. A lashon of roiges is like turmoil came. So the Medrash Rabbah of Shmais, in Shmais Rabbah, says that this pasuk is referring to Loy shalavti mi bavel, which I never found tranquility from bavel. V'loy shakati mi madai. The second lashon is going on, galus madai. V'loy nachti mi yavan, I never found rest from Yavan. V'yavei roiges be'edaim. And then the last one is referring to Edaim, the four galuses that we're commonly used to talking about. Problem is that Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis quotes the exact same pasuk and says it's referring to Yaakov. And it says, Loi shalavti is referring to Esav, and Loi shakati is referring to Lavan, Loi nachti is referring to Dina, and the last one of Ayove Reiges is referring to the Rugzai Shel Yosef, which means Yaakov went through four major upheavals in his life. Dolem got them now? Esav wanted to kill him for stealing the brachas and for whatever else he wanted to kill him for. Then he ended up by Lavan. Lavan tried to cheat him and do other stuff to him. Then Dina. And the last one was Rugzai Shel Yosef, the suffering he went through for mourning through Yosef, thinking Yosef was dead. So it seems like a stira. What's the pasuk referring to? Is it referring to the four galuses, or is it referring to the sufferings of Yaakov? Which a lot of them, unfortunately, want to say, Ma'asav Asim Labanim, that just like Yaakov went through certain things, and he got the power to overcome these things, so Mamela, his children are going to go through the same types of things on a bigger scale, and Hashem's going to give us the kayach through the Av to overcome it. So let's go through those four, which again we talk about in Mos Tzur. Number one, well, let's go backwards. Yosef was something which took over a major part of Yaakov's life. Here Yaakov thought that this is my future. And Yosef is taken in his prime. He thinks Yosef's killed. He never stops mourning for him. One of the things that Chazal tell us is that there's a special bracha given. A person could stop mourning if the person really died. He never died, so he never stopped mourning. We know this Golos, that we're stuck in this Golos Edom, which is Western civilization. It's an extension of Rome. It's a Golos which has gone on for a very long time. And we've never stopped mourning. That's the reason why we're going to be zeichet to the Gula. But part of the yisoid of this Golos is that it seems very long. It seems like there's no end in sight. That's what Yaakov Avinu was suffering with Yosef. We go back to the first one. What happened? Yaakov stole the brachas, and Esav wanted to kill him. Where was Yaakov? Yaakov was in Eretz Yisrael. Where did he end up running to? He ended up running to somewhere around the Bavel area, which is exactly what happened with Klal Yisrael in the first place of Mikdash. We were here. Nebuchadnezzar came. He sent his armies. They wanted to wipe us out, and we ended up in Golos over there in Bavel. Number two, we were in Madai, and we were in Achashverosh' kingdom. He tried to wipe us out through Haman, this conniving idiot. And what is? If it wasn't for Mordechai knowing with Ruach HaKodesh, he wouldn't have even known that they were trying to wipe us out. If you look at the Midrashim, it like comes up like Haman started wiggling his way out. He didn't really mean Klal Yisrael. He never really said which nation he's talking about. By Lavan, we find the same similar thing. The Pasuk says that Arami Oved Avi. That means that my forefather, an Aramean, wanted to destroy my forefather. Where do we find Lavan tried to kill Yaakov? Where did he try to destroy all of Klal Yisrael? Reb Chaim Brisker says, we don't find it, but if the Torah says it was going to happen, so that means he tried to do it. And Hashem obviously stopped him. So it's a similar type of gullus. The last one that we're discussing, which is Dina. How is Dina shaykh to Yavan? Anyone? Shechem. Chanukah happened to Shechem. Modche. So, for one, this is the only gullus that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Completely. Right? Every other Golos had shaykhs to Chutz Laaretz. Either was in Chutz Laaretz or we got sent to Chutz Laaretz. This one happened in Eretz Yisrael from start to finish. Golos Yavan, we were kicked out of the base of Mikdash. Number two, what happened to Dina? Elam knows, right? They got married, right? Like we were taught in nursery school. But what happened with every single Jewish girl when she wanted to get married in the times of the Yavanim? So there was a gzera, the Gemara in Ksuvos talks about, that Tibola Hegmon Tchila, that they were abducted and raped by the local governor. That was part of Malchus Yavan, which that's mamish, straight up, that was Dina. More than that, we find by Shechem, they came and they wanted to like make a treaty now with Yaakov. Like, okay, let's get married. We want to marry your daughter and you'll marry our daughters. We'll be like one big happy nation. That's came out what Yavan was trying to do. They were never trying to destroy us. They were trying to make us one big nation. So we find a lot of different parallels. But I just want to end off with one interesting medrash that the Ksav Sefer brings down. It says that Chamar was trying to be the Shadchan over here. After his son abducted the girl he wanted to marry and raped her, so now he has her in his house. And he's like, could we make a shidduch? I don't know. I don't know if other people think like this, but maybe it's a Goyish way of thinking. But he comes to Yaakov Avinu, and he says, the Medrash says, Avram Zekeno, Avram, your elder, was a Nasi. The Ksiv Nasi Alekim Atab Zekenu. Vani Nasi, and I'm also a Nasi. So I think it's a great shidduch, says Chamar. And Yaakov turns to him and he says, I don't know, because it says by my grandfather that he was like a shor. Shor hoye, d'chsiv ve'el ha'boko rutz Avram. And you're a chamor. So my grandfather was an ox, you're a donkey, and the pasuk says, lo sacharosh chamor b'shor. You can't plow the two together. So I'm saying it's not so nice to like pick on chamor because he's named donkey. I don't know which parent thought of naming their kid donkey. But what kind of response is that? Just tell him we're not interested. We don't marry out. What's like, oh, you're a donkey, my grandfather's an ox. So the Ksav service is beautiful. He says, the pasuk says, Yodea shar kanehu, an ox knows its owner, v'chamor avus balav, a donkey knows its trough, it knows where it's being fed from. So there's a major difference between donkeys and oxen. If you want to aspire to be an animal, go for the ox, not the donkey. What's pshat? Says, what does it mean, avos balav? He knows the trough of his master. He knows where he's getting fed. He doesn't really know his master. He knows there's some guy that puts food in front of him every single day and he gets the food from there. That's his connection to anyone. That's who he recognizes. Is that the owner? Maybe it's the owner, maybe it's someone else. That's his connection. But yodea shar konehu, an ox knows its owner. He recognizes who's the one that really takes care of him and who owns him, not just the guy that gives him food. And that's the major difference between Klal Yisrael and the Ummah Yisraelim. When we daven, we're not just trying to get stuff. The Gaisha way of looking at things is, I need stuff. The whole concept of Avodah Zarah is, I need stuff, I'll do you whatever you want. I'll shech my kid for you, I'll put him in a fire, I'll throw rocks at you, I'll go to the bathroom on top of you, whatever you want, in order for me to get whatever I need. But that's it. There's no relationship. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all about the relationship. Agav, I'm saying, you know, there's certain people, fundraisers, that, you know, they come and they call up and they want to make a meeting and they want your money. And there's other people that you just feel close to them. You know, they've always looked out, you've always learned with, you have a chavrusa, you have someone that you feel close to, and you know he's making a wedding. You will go over to him and the people give these people money. Why? I know he needs money, but I'm not, I have a connection with the person. Can I just end with the story, even though we're late?
Yeah.
Supper right now? Myriv, okay. There was a famous singer who wasn't so popular when he was alive in the from circles, but Dalem knows who he is. So he was once making a concert. He used to say a lot of stories in his concerts. And he says he saw how there was one couple sitting in the front and they were just like basking in every single song, every single word. And he went over to them afterwards. He's like, you're such a holy couple. Tell me your story. So he says, they say, we have a story. It seems these two people grew up in California, I think somewhere in California. And they were both atheists. Don't know the story? If you know it, don't be that guy. Okay. So they're both atheists. And not like stom atheists. They were like, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. We were atheists in a foxhole. So for years and years, they grew up not believing anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got married in their 20s, 30s, I don't know, whatever it was. They were married 8 years. 7 years. She had had 8 miscarriages. They weren't zeichet to have one kid yet. And finally, she's on her 9th pregnancy. And she's holding like the 7th or 8th month. She's pretty far in advance. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, it looks good, they, you know. And one day she wakes up and she's just not feeling good. She calls up the doctor. She goes over to the doctor. He does some scans and he's like, I told you, you're just not made for having babies. You're losing this baby in a few hours. And she's like, I can't go on. Like every woman, you know, that's their dream to bring children into the world. And she's like, I just decided I'm done. I'm going home. I'm going to close all the windows. Going to turn on the gas. I'll write my letter, husband. A letter to my husband that I can't go on. So she takes a taxi back home, and she's about to go upstairs, and then she says, for the first time, I noticed there was a synagogue across the street from my house. See how crazy. She had a synagogue all her life across the street, and she never noticed it. But she's like, you know, I thought maybe there is a God. It doesn't hurt. I'm anyway going to kill myself right now, so let me go. She says she walked in. She didn't know what she was doing, but she just walked in. The doors were open. She walked up to the Aron Kodesh, and she started crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she says, God, if you're there, I'm begging you for a child. Please, please help my baby. And then she said, you know, I can't just demand things of God. I also want to give him something. So I said, the only thing I knew is that Jewish women light candles Friday night. So I said, Hashem, God, if I get my baby, I promise I'm going to light candles every Friday night. She said she finished and she felt fine. She walked out And she comes home and she's like, okay, I promise God, I got to do this. She says she had one friend who she knew that was religious. So she called her up and she asked her to come down. She has to learn how to light Shabbos candles. And it was Thursday. She comes in, she starts teaching her, and then she's like, I don't understand. You're going to light candles and then you're just going to sit down and watch television? She's like, well, just tell me what to do. She's like, you can't watch television Friday night or Shabbos day. And then she's like, and then you're going to serve shrimp? So she's like, just I want my baby. So she kashed the whole kitchen. She taught her what to do on Shabbos. She called up her husband. She said, we own two huge department stores somewhere in California. I told my husband, tomorrow candle lighting is at 5 o'clock. If you're not home by 4, I'm divorcing you. He came home by 4. And they've kept Shabbos ever since. So Rav Shlomo said, this couple was like such an inspiration to me. I was like, he says, I was flying a few years later and I happened to have a stopover in this town. So I called them up. And she says, my husband's coming to pick you up. We want you to come over to our house. You'll rest for a little bit. He says, I came to the house. They had a huge mansion. He says, I walk in and they say, we want to show you something. They bring me to another wing of the house, another wing of the house, and all the way at the other end of the house. They bring me into this room, huge room, beautiful table set up, candles sitting in the middle. It was Tuesday. She's like, Matzah Shabbos, we set up the whole table and dining room for Shabbos. She's like, Shabbos saved my life. Shabbos saved my kid's life. This is how we do it. Now, I think it's an awesome story, but I think something deeper, which I think all of us could take something, is that it's not like tit for tat, like we're saying by the Goyim. She realized, I want a connection. Her connection was with Shabbos. No one, there's no halacha you have to start setting the table on Matzah Shabbos. There's no halacha in the world. But every single person who's connected to Shabbos, already Matzah Shabbos, you could start doing things. I try and clean out the candlestick, so next week I could already put the candle straight in. But this is brought down halacha. Every single day you could buy things for Shabbos. But it's every single thing in our life. If we're talking about a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to build a relationship. So there's no rules. Just like everyone knows, if you have a girlfriend or a wife, a fiance, whatever it is, you do things that you're not asked to do. You do it because I love you, and I want to have a relationship. That's what it's really all about with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really what I think Chanukah is about in a very deep way, which is we know that Klal Yisrael was slacking off, and Chanukah is a time where they all came back together, and they said, we're really going to fight for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to give everything. And I think that's what this Kailo is all about. You guys are giving extra, no one said you have to be here. I know the money's good, but Lamaisa, it's not what's making you be here. It's because we want a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should all be Zeicha to get that. Shkayach.